Brothers, there are pages that are left on the desks around the masjid. If anybody got any questions, kindly write your question out on the page and send it to the front, inshallah. So we can, inshallah, take full advantage of this great opportunity we got to learn by asking questions. It's a very great and effective method of learning, is by asking questions and receiving the answers, so we all can learn, inshallah. So please don't feel shy. Send your question to the front so that we can call it on. First question, the student is asking, how can I let my ustad have great love and affection for me, and how do I manage to read door without learning too much?
In the statement, muhabbat khud tujhe adab muhabbat sikha degi. Love will teach you all procedures. For the student here some 7-8 years ago, so he says, how do you build your love with Allah Ta'ala? So I asked him, quite a bright student, say for example, you need to get married tomorrow. Will you need anybody to coach you how to make love? No, I understood. As you ponder over the love of Allah Ta'ala, His favors, what was your beginning? It was just the essence of soil, essence removed from soil. There's a dirty drop of fluid, then a clot of blood, then after some transformation it became a lump of flesh, and then Allah Ta'ala infused the life in you. Then He brought you up with a loving care of parents in a Muslim home with guidance, affection and kindness. Whereas you didn't pay for this, you didn't send an application for Allah Ta'ala that I deserve this, nor did you deserve it. But He granted this all to you without application, without effort, without any sacrifice from your side. Now doesn't that require some form of appreciation? When you think about this, and you think about the magnitude of the favor, when you look at people that are lower than you, living in informal homes, if you drive through town today, you find people living off the streets. That's the home, that's the day, that's the night. They have this, they're quite comfortable content. Allah Ta'ala could have swapped the roles. Nobody stopped Allah Ta'ala from swapping the roles. But He granted you respect, honor, cozy homes, good food, good family, good family support. So doesn't this require some level of appreciation? So as you think, you recognize the favor of Allah Ta'ala, and you recognize the favor of Allah Ta'ala, then it can't be that you become ungrateful. He was asking about hifz and how it should become easy for him. So in the Fazail al-Quran, there is a hadith about reciting four surahs. Surah Alif Lam Mim, Yasin, Tabarak, and perhaps Surah Waqia. Look at the sequence. It's contained in the Fazail al-Quran. We do it for 3 or 4 weeks. Inshallah, you'll find a great difference in your ability to memorize. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is reported to have said that the memory deficiency is on account of us getting involved in things that don't concern us. Don't concern this life, doesn't concern the hereafter. We get into this type of discussions, fill our minds, crowd our minds with unrelated worries or expectations, great expectations, etc. And this takes the toll on the mind. The mind also has got a capacity, it can take so much. When you're loading it more than what you can manage, it's also crying.
A few questions are coming on a similar topic, so we'll try and combine it. What advice does the Mufti Sahib have for a person who is 20 years old and he also has a porn addiction? And how can a person give up sinful actions, especially addiction to looking at forbidden things?
Most of the wrongs are because of not reflecting. When you reflect over this life, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And Allah Pak wants you to reflect over matters of this life and the hereafter. You reflect over this life, the uncertainty of the nature of this life, the certainty of the hereafter, and the time being absolutely uncertain. Young man doing very well for himself, built up a home for approximately 70 million, and just the second day that he's in the house, and Malakul Maut call him. The world couldn't do anything, the house couldn't do anything, the family couldn't do anything, the attendants, the doctors, nobody could do anything. So uncertain is life. So is this a place to get yourself consumed, to get yourself stuck up? Is the place? So we need to reflect over these things. Some times ago, one person came here and he says, I swear my father, I'm going to kick his grave, I spit on his grave. He's a curse. I said, what happened? Why? He says, no, as he died, we picked up his phone to see perhaps he had some accounts to settle, some bequest that he had left, so that we could settle all these things. So disgusting when we discovered that he was watching porn. Now people know, some people learn forensic, and then forensic requires that you must know how to hack into a person's memory, so they can trace everything, where you went to, what you did. So the man was playing around with a woman, he betrayed our mother, and what a disappointment he was. This is what he did. So when you think about these things here, and you need to understand that you're not an exception to the rule. Everybody goes in the same way, you can also go in the same way exactly. One person studied very well, took up one degree, another degree, very well employed, and then earning very, very well, extremely well, wife, two children, and suddenly he picked up cancer. He said, there's no treatment here, you go to this country. So the one injection that they had to give him was over 7 million. Because he was someone that was very much appreciated by the firm, they offered to contribute half, and the rest he must sort himself. Went up, took the injection. After the injection, and he's supposed to be under observation in the ICU. There he picked up a bug, and he realized it's the end of my time. So he said to his father, in an overseas country, please, after my janazah, just bury me here. But you see the uncertainty of life. So is this the place to get caught up? Uncertainty, it is not lasting. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. It is just a glitter, nothing more than a glitter. One friend of mine is in the IT. So he knows quite, he's quite acquainted with what goes on. So he says there was a case in Japan where a couple had acquired for themselves a space in the virtual life. Virtual life is an imaginary life. They purchased a space in virtual life. And then they also acquired a child in virtual life. It's imaginary. And they began to take all the best care for this virtual child. Neglected their own child until the child died. Someone to court both the prisoners. See, when I heard the story, the lesson I learned was this entire world, this virtual life, is just an imagination. And you only come to your senses, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ, when that cover is removed from your eyes, then you see, alright, this is life. This is the permanent abode. This is what ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنُ تَحِيدٍ. This was what I was trying to escape. When I saw a hearse, I don't look in that direction. If someone tells you, you know what, I'm going for a holiday, I've got a hearse, I'll just keep it by your house only for 2 weeks. Are you prepared for one day? I think I'm a little bit busy for the weekend. Please make some other arrangements. But if your friend tells you, I got a Ferrari and I'm going for Umrah 1 month or so, just park it off, you can use it, I'll pay for the precious. You know, you take your time, go for 2 months also. See how our mind goes. It's virtual reality. This which is an imagination, our mind gets so stuck, that which is a reality that you can't escape, that you have to escape. So the more you think about that real life, then all these things become just an imagination. So the simple thing is, do two things. Don't get yourself involved in things that don't relate, don't concern you. Number two, when everything is dark and quiet in the home, and sit in the dark and think to yourself, now this is my last day, Malak al-Maut is already coming, and now he's about to take away my soul. And when I'm looking at all this here, then what's going to be my state? أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِتُوا أَيْدِينَ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Zalims, doing all this wrong, and they in the throes of death, Malaika got fiery rods, and they smashing him down. Pull out your souls. الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ, will punish you with disgrace today. I think you have to cross that. You can't avoid it. Nobody can avoid it. Who can avoid it? You're going to be all alone. Then the next step is the grave. You're all alone there. You look at the grave, look at it properly. When they cover you up, you're blocked from all ends. No access to anything. From the top, you're blocked. From beneath, you're blocked. From the sides, you're blocked. From all sides, you're blocked. Now, the only thing that saves you there is وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The level of taqwa. Taqwa means you guard yourself from wrong. The two things come and mess your life is shaitan or nafs. Shaitan means any evil companion. It doesn't have to be a companion that you can't see. It can be a companion that you can see as well, but you can see that he's taking you away from Allah Ta'ala. He's making you forget about the akhirat. He's making you forget about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's your shaitan. So just keep away. So when you keep away from that, now you come to reality. Then when you hear about this, when you think about it as real, then you want to cry. Then you ask Allah Ta'ala, please do forgive me. Give me that ability that I leave these things here. I don't want to be in a virtual life. I want to be in a real life. Allah, you guide me. There were youngsters that changed their life overnight. They became such saintly people. You have Malik ibn Dinar, he's in alcohol, and then one night, and his whole life changes, and he becomes the head of the awliya. Same with Fuzail ibn Iyaz, rahmatullahi alayhi, he is the head of the awliya. This one, listening to the Quran, pondering over its content, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time arrived that you fear Allah Ta'ala? You're going to be all alone. Nobody on your side, no affluence, no influence, nothing, is just you. Kullum aati yawm al-qiyamati farda. You're going to come all alone, nobody on your side. What's going to happen then? So we are caught up in this imaginary and virtual life. Now come to the real life. In the real life, it's got its pleasure, it's got love. Therefore, you won't see a person who's a wali, and he's got the taste of iman, ever wanting to experiment in these things there. But the person that was on the other end, he may have experimented. But once he's tasted this, he said, hey, this is all children's toys. I don't want to mess myself and mess my iman with these things here. Let it go. Person is on the throes of death. As the Shaykh al-Hadith mentioned the story, he's in the throes of death. And he's talking, but he's got difficulty in reciting the kalima. So they asked him, what happened? You are talking all right, but you have got some difficulties in reciting the kalima. What's your problem? He says, some days ago, a girl, beautiful girl, complexion, hair, everything, she came to the shop and I was stealing glances. I tried to prolong the conversation so that I could look at her. Now she's coming in between me and the kalima. When I was reading that, she's coming. It seemed so nice for the moment, instant gratification. But when you're stuck there, you would recite the kalima. One man, all right, a good man, but he says, you know, I was browsing through and one picture just popped up. And my eyes just peeped out. And then it was a picture of a naked woman. Now I'm in the state of sajda and she's coming right there. What's going to happen to me at the time of death? So this unconsciousness of that crucial moment, you're unconscious, becoming forgetful, that leads you to this imaginary false life. So the more we begin to relate about this, we come to our senses, understanding the direction in life.
I have a daily routine of reading one sipara a day. Can I count my Surah Yasin, Waqia, etc. as half para and only read half para?
Can you say that I'll have 3 glasses or 5 glasses of water and call it half my meal, then leave out half the meal and say I have drunk 5 glasses of water, so I don't need to have so much?
The last majlis, Hazrat Mufti Sahib suggested that if a person can't wake up for Fajr Salah, his wife should sprinkle water on his face. He says, the problem I got is my wife is also a heavy sleeper. Now who is going to sprinkle water on our face? Mufti Sahib can give any advice.
There's so many gadgets now, right? If you can work out a gadget that can shoot on you right at that time. So many, you know, computer with so many things, so many features and all that. You set it for a time and must keep spraying water on you.
How do we go about bringing simplicity in our lives? And what type of, or what extent of simplicity is expected in today's time?
Simplicity, Hadith says, al-bazazatu min al-iman. Simplicity is iman. The best procedure for simplicity is contentment. See, the whole system we are in is corrupt. From the first day that the child gets into school till the last day, the greater concern of the educationist is that you must become financially strong. And you mustn't stop at any point, you must keep on progressing. So, in Islamic terms, that is called greed. We are saying it's financial strength, but Islamically it's called greed. Right? So, the opposite of greed is contentment. Contentment means you are more than happy with what Allah Pak has provided. So, you become too happy with what Allah Pak has provided, then whatever is before you, you will eat it with relish. I was explaining one friend, there are 2 verses in the Quran Sharif that are very prominent. One is Bashiris Sabirin, and the other is Bashiril Mukhbitin. So Allah Ta'ala gives good news, but 2. One is to the patient, and Bashiril Mukhbitin. Mukhbitin comes from the word khabt. Khabt is mean something like a lowland, right? So mukhbitin is the one, the person that keeps himself low, humble. So these 2 people have been promised by Allah Ta'ala good tidings for you. Right? No matter what you're going through, but I'm giving you good tidings. So I ask you, that is it not something to relish that Allah Ta'ala has given you, from all people, has given you good tidings? Bashir al-Sabirin and Bashir al-Mukhbitin. So I was wanting to know, alright, this humble person that the Quran speaks about, what is the description? There must be some description for it. Hadith gives a description of this class of people, that they don't wrong anybody, they don't ill-treat. Though people may ill-treat them, but they don't respond. They just forget about it. You ill-treated me, you hurt me, you abused me, insulted me, put me down. So I don't have the heart to retaliate. Just forget it. I don't want to retaliate. Now in the past there were many people like that. I didn't want to retaliate. Just forget it. Irrespective of the wrong that's done to me. But I forget it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And I know, I'm sure, Allah Ta'ala will see me favorably. One person saw Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. And as Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him that so and so person will be my companion in Jannah. Ya Rasulullah, can you give me his particular so that I can go and see him? So he got the name, got the particulars, and he went direct to the person. He says, you know, I want to know you, there's something special about you, so can you just divulge? So, no, forget it, just go. Persuading until he expressed the dream that he saw. So now, you are forcing me, I have to divulge. You see, he says that I got married, and in a few days I got to know, obviously, the person who was married is newly married, so he'll explore all the valleys and the lakes, everything properly, thoroughly, right? And in the inspection I made out, she was pregnant and about to deliver. So, and she delivered. 1 week in the marriage and she delivered. I said, don't worry, I'll sort this out. So he's working it out that I need to get my Jannat. And Allah Pak's promise is, you conceal someone's fault, then Allah Pak will conceal you. You hide his fault, so then I'll sort you out. He's working it out in his mind that if I'm going to divulge this, I'm going to expose her, then one is she'll be stoned to death. Number two is that it'll be a disgrace and embarrassment for herself, for her family, for her friends, for her community, right? It'll be a talk of the town, the whole world will talk about it. So let me just conceal this completely so that I can secure my Jannah. But you see where the minds were. The minds were not here, the minds were beyond this life. So he thought of it from different perspectives, and no matter, I'll sort it out, I got a plan. Person wants Jannat, Diwana ho jata hai. You become Diwanas. You want something? You become Diwanas. You want to do something, you have a plan. So the child is delivered, and now he comes into the masjid before anybody. He wraps the child and he hides the child behind one door. So as the Imam starts the namaz, this little child, he started his qiraat. So after the namaz, everybody went towards the door to see what's happened. They saw an abandoned child. So the Imam asked, obviously, any volunteer to bring up his child? Me, I'll volunteer. I get the sound of looking after a yatim. So he hid her properly, concealed her respect, and for this Allah has given me this basharat, that I'll be the companion. I asked, is there anything greater you can think of? But what a big sacrifice. You got a pregnant woman, she was in zina, she got this child here. I said, no, I can't lose out. See, our style is, no, let's expose the person, run him down, belittle him, humiliate him, do something. But is that the style of a Muslim? Or the style of a Muslim is, we don't la yazlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu. We don't hurt the person, and we don't abandon our friend, whatever he was, sharabi, kababi, whatever he was. Now, he's our brother, but now we need to bring him back. You can shout him, hit him, but bring him back. Bring him somehow, don't disgrace him, don't humiliate him, especially in this environment.
The person says he wants to get married again. How should he approach his children and existing wife? Should he just go ahead and get married and worry about the issues later that come up?
See, this type of stories come quite common, right? They want to take a second wife and all that. And I don't discourage. Nobody I discourage. This masjid here is from 2000. It's about 25 years. So before this, we used to make etikaf at the top masjid. So there was an old man, I won't mention his name. And now, because he had taken a second wife, so he encouraged everybody, yeah, you're not taking second wife and all that, right? Now he approached me once and said, Chacha, you stopped the whole thing. Me, I took the second wife, you see, I stopped it. Yeah, see, Chacha, what happened? See, you clamped up, right? You went onto the second rung and you stopped there. So now we thinking that there's a problem, therefore you're going above. If there was no problem, you would have taken the third one. So now we apprehensive because of you, you see. So the Chacha, in a silence, you finished. But I say, most of the cases, they can't do the type of justice that is required. So I don't want to become the zalim, encouraging you, and then you make zulm, and then the day of Qiyamah, shikhu ma'ilun ila janibin. Then you'll come up in a state that one side will be like, you know how you get a person that's paralyzed, and one side is all, he's bending on one side, if you're like that. So you've got the strength, number two, besides having the strength, you're not creating a commotion in a fight in the family, the wife and your children. I know there was a case here, I'll mention the name of it, and a lot of money, so he took a second wife. Now, came the Eid day, or the Eid night, and nobody's seeing him. Nobody's talking to him, nobody's seeing him. The Eid night, he had to go and book in a B&B, right? Because of one BB, he had to go and book in a B&B. In the morning, he's phoning his grandchild, that was his pet, you know, apple of the eye. So her response is, who are you? What do you want? Said, that was enough for me. So I say, you want to do it. Don't create commotions, fights, problems, frictions. Do it with some understanding, respect, dignity. And then if you got the strength to do justice, emotionally, financially, in every respect, then it's alright. But you don't have that, then in the words of Umarji Ramtari, then it's your greed that's talking, not the need.
Sometimes we notice that there's ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, which is being displayed. How should we avoid being disrespectful to any of the ulama in general?
See, for the ordinary person, I gave an answer here, after Asr. The person that is not equipped in deen, فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. What is required, he is required to go and find out. But what is the right way? See the person properly. He's sound, his knowledge, understanding, he's got the grasp of it very well. What people feel of him, pious people, righteous people feel of him. So you understand that this person has got a good grasp. Number two, he's also got a good level of taqwa, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So such a person will not mislead you. Once you have held on to such persons, then close your eyes from any other person thereafter. And if you know something, expel that, don't entertain that, don't worry about it, don't pay attention to that. Apna kam, do your work. Do your work, otherwise your whole life will go on. He said this and he did this. He did this and why is he saying this? Sort him out. So your whole life will just come to an end abruptly. And then you realize, hey, how many valuable moments I've lost out. So, do your own thing and leave the others. The thing is that you don't have the capacity to discuss or to engage or to debate. And when you don't have the capacity, then why must you pretend to have the capacity and go into discussions that's beyond you? You may create confusion for yourself. You create confusion for others. You don't get involved in any discussion, whether it's a walima, whether it's a dawat, but don't get involved. Because I'm hearing of late, so this person wants to practice. Now, he is noticing that he wants to practice. So now somehow, just to instigate him, yeah, you sit on the floor and eat, huh? Yeah, you're in that ages. So now this person wants to engage. How do you engage? will belittle the sunnah. And obviously everybody is not at the level to give an answer, appropriate answer. So that he feels belittled. So he may retaliate. And then it becomes an argument, then it becomes a fight. So when you see these type of people, then gently just move away. Is it going to be instigating, troubling you, removing the happiness and the cheer of your ibadat, etc.? You don't need it. And an easy way to just avoid trouble nowadays, if someone is starting up that type of a discussion, then just pull out your phone. Sorry, gents, I just want to call. Move out. There's a lot of ways to avoid, isn't it?
I teach high school students maktab, afternoon maktab. Many times I become angry with the students, and because they haven't learned the sabak, as a result I hit them. I feel very guilty about it. How do I discipline them without hitting them?
I impress upon teachers, right? The fact that the child is coming to the maktab appreciates the person. And if he doesn't learn too much, don't you become over concerned. The fact that he's in a madrasa environment, at least his iman will be right. At least his thinking will be right. You encourage him slowly. And if you want to be hard and harsh and say, he left the madrasa, right? Says it's too hard. So his iman is on the line. He has a hatred for ulama. He has a hatred for deen. But we have caused that. So we have a gentle approach until he considers every shot of yours like gold. You know, he takes it as gold, then you can hit him, it's alright. But otherwise, you don't hit him, don't scold him. Slowly, you just win the person over. And the approach has to be so gentle and so careful. See, our elders understood this. We don't want to read the stories of our elders, right? How they live. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, they passed away around 1944-45. Right? So in his day, around maybe 1910 or 1920, one university boy, right, passed the high school. Now he's in university. So he comes up to him, and Muaz notices he's clean shaven. So after some time, Muaz felt that now I built up a familiarity with him. Now he's familiar with me. So let me just tell him about his beard. Very, very gently, he just alluded. Usne aana band kar diya. He stopped coming to Mulana. Mulana says, now see how sincere, how honest Mulana says, yeh meri galat is, my fault. Maine kachche tawe ke upar aata rakh diya. Tawe where they put the roti. Kya kehte isko? Huh? Roti pan, now they say. You know where they make the roti? So, the roti, the pan, has to be hot before you put the aata. Now, that thing was still cold and you put the atta there, expecting the thing to produce. That was my mistake. I needed to heat the thing, then place. So he needed to come in the heat of iman, then he would have responded properly. But I did it before. But now you see how this people looked at it. It's not just now, I must get this work done. I must win his heart. When I win his heart, then he'll give me himself. He'll give me his whole self.
Kitabs are often kept on the mimbar, and the khatib sits on the same step where the kitabs are normally kept. Will keeping the kitabs on the mimbar be disrespectful?
Rather, just remove it. Place it in a nice, respectable place.
Video calling is very rife in our communities, even amongst the deendar tabqa. Those that may be avoiding animate pictures and videos also engage in video calling. Muhsab, what any advice with regards to this?
When a problem becomes common, right, they will tell the Mawlana, Mawlana, you know, you must be realistic, you know, this is what's happening, and you can't avoid it, must be realistic. Try and understand what's going on. Acknowledge the Zamana Pyai. So, as Mawlana Tamir Sahib, he gave an answer in his Zamana. He says, the crime that most people are involved is ghibat. So now, when that's the crime, so now, because it's so abundant, so now it should become permissible then. You know, they say, umum balwa. Uska matlab umum balwa ho gaya, to iske jaiz karna dena chahiye. It's so right now, then why don't we legalize ghibat? In spite of it being right, we still say it's haram. Same photography, in spite of it being rife, we don't legalize it because of becoming rife. I had to explain this to someone. He said, some gunas have become too rife, right? But understand that when things are so difficult, you know, the tsunami is getting you from all sides. And then too, you are guarding yourself. So your rewards also are escalating. In Tirmidhi Sharif, there is one or two or three Sulasi riwayas. Sulasi means between Imam Tirmidhi and the Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's just three links. So one of those hadiths are that As-sabiru ala dini al-qabidi al-jamar. In spite of all the negativity, so much of opposition, he still stands on firm. He's not worried about his friends, families, etc. He's still standing on the sunnah. Rasulullah SAW declared this as a curse. Malaika won't come to your house. Imagine if you were dying, the malaika are not there to support you, encourage you. So forget whatever people say, I'll remain on this. So it becomes so difficult to practice your deen as though there's a burning ember in your hand. But then the reward of that person is kal khamsina minkum. It's like 50 sahaba kiram. So if the challenge is hard, challenge is heavy, the reward is also great. If the reward is great, then the right thing was just to take the opportunity. You don't make too much of tahajjud and too much of other the filibal, but at least refrain, guard yourself from haram, from doubtful areas, from areas that could mislead. Can't we do that much as well?
If the husband and wife are not on the same page regarding deen, how will the correct tarbiyat of the children be made, and what can we do to get on the same page?
So you've got an article on our site, abused woman. So much of problems, domestic problems. So you've got an article, abused woman, right? But about four or five things they need to do in the house to at least get the mindset. You see, your mind is shaped by people around you, environment, and the content that you read. That shapes your mind. Right? If the content you read is right, people around you are right, and the environment is right, then your mind will be reshaped. Right? This was also in the top masjid. So it's over 25 years ago. So one woman wrote up to me. I think it was about 15 pages, long pages. So I discovered that she was a professional woman. You know that professional style, how they write. So I'm not too concerned about that. My style is, my answers are very brief. If you wrote 20 pages, but I think that I've answered you in half a page, I won't think of covering the page, more pages. So I read her story, then I started thinking, what's the problem? You must understand, what's the reason for her to complain about husband in this manner? So I thought of it carefully. I said, see, Ben, your problem is you circularly educated, right? When you educated that way, so your mind, when you are confronted with the problem, so you look into secularism, Westernism for solutions. And Westernism doesn't have to gel with Islam. Their ways, their values don't have to gel with Islam. They have to give that's a claim, you know, Tarjamatul Baab, so you have to give a dalil for that. As I see, a Western community, right? So the husband is just coming in, or a woman is coming in, and she's receiving some of her friends, men, women, all that, right? So this one's husband is embracing that one's wife, and that one's wife is embracing this one's husband, all like a machete, free fall. Right? And now that's regarded as respect, you know, respect, and you appreciate the person. But that's a Western circular mind. I ask, is that acceptable? So you're looking for the solutions in the right places or the wrong places. Then I explain to her right now, to change this whole mindset, what you need to do is do the ta'lim of these kitabs, zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz, etc. After about 2 years, then she writes him, well, now my home is like Jannah. The whole, it reshapes your whole value, your whole mind is reshaped. But uske liye to kuch mehnat ki zarurat hai. You want to make your house in Jannah, you have to make some effort in that direction.
The person says that taking into consideration the amount of crime in our country, will it be advisable for a person to learn martial arts, karate, etc.?
Whatever whatever is legal, and to defend yourself, nothing wrong. Provided you're not crossing the limits. Now you're going to learn karate and all that, and before the instructor you have to go and bow down. It's not right that. Don't bow down before anybody. Now just to earn something and you have to go and bow down, it's not on. Or for the training, you go for the training and you have to mix up with girls and boys, right? That's wrong. Or you're going for the training and you're not concerned about your namaz, etc., your family time. That's also wrong.
A person has a choice to go 40 days foreign jamaat or for umrah. Which one should he choose?
No, go 30 days jamaat and 10 days umrah. Khalas, 40 days. Bukhari Sharif, this is for hadith. That person is coming for Jummah namaz. Man barrat qadamahu fi sabilillah falan tamassahu an-nar, something like that, right? That he's coming for Jummah, right? We've got a hadith there that his feet are soiled in the path of Allah Ta'ala. His feet are soiled in the path of Allah Ta'ala, then the fire of Jahannam will not get him. But Imam Sahib has used this hadith for leaving the home for Jummah namaz. And he's got a money barrat kadamahu fi sabilillah. So he's also in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But I don't want to say this for Himah Hilal, please. The
person says, I keep on slipping and I try to pick myself up. Sometimes the more I try, the more I slip and get sucked in. What's the easiest way to pick myself up? And how do I become like the pious people?
It's not a difficult thing. You join the right company, then obviously you will have an aversion for the wrong. Right? Now you've got a taste for the wrong because the circle around you is all wrong. Well, the room has given a story that they saw a person fainted, you know. Fainted. And everybody's trying to revive him. So someone is bringing oud, someone is bringing umber, someone is bringing mush, you know, expensive atars. They are not saying hello. So when there's a big crowd, everyone should see. So one person is standing on his heel, you know, to see the tamasha, to see the drama is going on. So he saw now, who's the person that's fainted? He realized, ke mera baradri ka aadmi, my man. So he went for a stick and just put it over the nose. Straight away, revived, came up. Boy, what magic you got? We don't have all this thing here. And you, where you got this one? So, no, Mera Baradi Ka, it's my man. See, we are toilet cleaners. So, we're familiar with that. So, I just went and put some suraj, and I got it all. He got up. So, he's so deep into this wrong, this dirt, that the dirt brings about joy to him. Right? So he needs to be taken away from the dirty environment into a clean environment for him to come to his senses that I was in dirt, now I need to come into purity.
How does a person know what he should report or what should be reported to his sheikh? What are the indications?
The things that you report to your sheikh is anything that pertains to your deen. Right, to your deen now. So there'll be two type of things that pertain to your deen. One is masail, right? So masail, then you would refer it to some alim. Perhaps you could ask your sheikh or anybody else, who's a person that I can rely upon and get my masail right. That this is, I missed out this faraz, or my wuzu was like this, or my wife wants to know about some personal masail, whatever else. So you get direction. Other than that, your behavior of righteousness, rebirth, backbiting, looking at the wrong things, so anything that refers to your acts of righteousness, not masail, there you refer to your shirk. I'm wasting my time, I'm not guarding my time, I'm fighting with people all the time, I get into arguments and problems, so how must I reshape myself?
A beardless person or a person who trims his beard less than a fist is known to be committing a grave sin. How do we reconcile between this and the Mujahideen who are giving their lives in Palestine, yet they contravene this great fundamental act, and yet we praise them and Awam praise them? How do we reconcile between the two?
This requires a little bit of explanation, right? See, in the late 19th century, right, there was the founder of Aligarh University, Sir Sayyid, right? So he's written so much of wrong in his tafsir. Al-Imam Tamimi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi writes about 50 pages of his wrongs, discrepancies. This is a mistake he made in his tafsir, this is a mistake. 50 pages in the 6th volume of Imdadul Fatawa. But Azharji Muhammad Sallallahu Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, with quote from Al-Imam Tamimi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, this was in his place, but he has some good qualities. Like the good qualities that he mentioned, two that I remember, right? One was, this title of Sir was awarded by the English. The time of the English, 1910, somewhere, was the time of the English. So now, he was recognized. One person, he went to an English officer, and he says that I'm Sir Sayyid's son-in-law, and this secured me a job. So the English officer made some rapport with Sir Sayyid that this person is coming, and this is what he says, and should you offer him? Sir Sayyid, do offer the job to him. Anyway, he got the job, top salary. After a year or something, he comes to offer his appreciation, gratitude to Sir Sayyid. You know, I'm the stupid person, I use your name to secure a job. So I came to ask you for your maaf, and also, as a token of appreciation, I brought this gift for you, that you didn't disgrace me in front of that person. So says Sayyid, he took a deep sigh and says, "Afsos, you know, what a pity, I had just 2 daughters and both are married. Had I had a 3rd daughter, I would have given it to you. But forget that, apart from that, you see, from now onwards, your wife I will treat like my own daughter. And my wife will see to her, and they will call her for all occasions that daughters are normally called, and the same gifts that I give to my daughters, I'll give." The second story I remember from Mazari Rahmatullahi, he's quoting from Imam Tamimi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Malai has also exposed him, but the salient features he's written, he says that the same, Sayyid, right? And the good side of the person. So he sees one person outside his house, and he tells his friend, "Can see this person is a professional beggar. He'll put up a good show, like a big buzrug, with a turban and a big fat stick he'll have, with a tasbih around his neck. I'm not going to give him a cent." So anyway, like Sir Sayyid had felt, he happened exactly the same, came, knocked at the door, and Sir Sayyid is just ignoring the person. He says, "You're ignoring me. You know these eyes, it's seen Ghulam Ali." Ghulam Ali was the personal attendant of Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullahi. And he was the sheikh of Allama Shami Rahmatullahi's sheikh. So this eyes has set on that buzurg, and this is what you are doing to me. He got a shock. He brought his safe, take as you want. So the guest is telling him, just now you see, you ignore him. He said, "You know, I got off very cheap. He asked me to give you my whole house, I would have given him." So the respect that he had, and then perhaps Allah gave him the blessings to make tawbah at the end. At the end he made Tawbah, right? So there were numerous people like that. So our ulama had counted the wrongs so that people don't get beguiled, but they recognize the good that they had done. Like in Pakistan, one of the best leaders was Ziaul Haq, right? But no beard, and his trousers not right as well. But nearly all the contemporaries of Mufti Shafi Sahib, everybody at that time, they had recognized the good that he'd done. Nobody did what he did for Pakistan. Then again, you look at Allama Iqbal, he also got no beard. But his poetry is quoted by Buzrugan al-Din and others, everybody. Everybody. But they talk about the wrong. It's not that they compromise on the wrong, but the good that he had, we talk about it as well. They talk about the wrong so that people don't get confused, but they talk about the good as well, so that we don't lose sight. King Faisal, the king of Saudi Arabia, everybody says Shaheed. Even Ziaul Haq was Shaheed. But he also had just, he never probably, no beard. But everybody admires him for his achievements. He declared the Qadianis as kafir, etc. So all that they recognize, though they understand that he was not fully practicing. So nobody is confused. They say this is wrong. He should have abstained from this. But we have to appreciate the good that he's done. So there's no confusion there. The ummah is not left in confusion. But if they don't recognize the good that he's done, that means what he stood up for deen and all that, right? Then we have totally forgotten. Now the thing is, this Palestinian, so reading some book about them, you know, the history. So the one that started all this Hamas movement, I think his name was Yasin, Ahmad Yasin. So around the time that he started, these people were bordering atheism, godless society. Now, can you imagine what effort they had to put in to bring them up, reconscientize them, bring them up slowly, slowly. So it takes quite a bit of time. You can't just change the people overnight. So they do count the wrongs, but they do recognize the good from what they were to what they are now, right? Understand, you get the whole story, then you understand. But now, just to count the good and confuse people is wrong also, right? It's a little bit of an approach that is required. Like sometimes it happens, the Jamaat was working on a person, right? Wasn't coming for a single namaz, no Jummah namaz, no Eid namaz, nothing. So they made ghost, kept on making ghost, and they started coming for Jummah namaz. So Jamaat says, hey, what a, mashallah, 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 how great you are. So the person that doesn't know the full story said, complimenting him for leaving out the 6 days namaz. But the one that knows that he is complimenting him from where he was and where he has come. So you're not going to bring the person overnight. You'll have to harness him, compliment him, patawa him, and gradually get him right. So there's numerous cases like that. And I saw all of our Kabir are quoting them. Allama Iqbal, everybody is quoting. The Jigar Muradabadi, when he came to Thanabon, Allama Thani Sahib Rahman gave him a special audience. And he was a drunkard, no beard. But then, Mawla worked on him, and he became the Buzruk of his time. But now, this type of a thing happens with time. And I think what our South African crowd wants, they in a microwave zamana. So immediate change. But immediate change, it doesn't happen. It happens gradually, very slowly, slowly, slowly it comes. You see, when Mahmud Ghaznavi, when he broke that Somnath, you know, so one of his soldiers told that kafir to accept Islam, right, to accept Islam. So now, after a day or 2 days, that person is saying, still saying Ram, 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 Ram. So he became Muslim, what is saying Ram, Ram? So he says, the soul saal ka Ram, nikalte, nikalte hi nikalta hai. So I think that 100 years of making Ram, Ram, that it won't just come out overnight. It would take time. Now we have to be on the cases. Right? So you have to understand where they were and where they are now. Imam Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his first 10 some odd years, he was in Kanpur, right? And he heard the district around, they're all converting to Hinduism. So Maulana was very concerned. With a group of ulama, he went and met. Now, the procedure, protocol in India, is you talk to the Chaudhary, like how we have your Induna. So the Induna or the Chaudhary has a lot of influence. So Maulana and them got to talking with the person. So we hear you're turning to Hinduism. So, no, no. We make Taziyah. We don't even talk about Hinduism. So Maulana's reply to me are, how Taziyah khub nikalte raho. Taziyah, you must practice it all the time. Now they came out, and the ulama is saying, but what are you advising me? Full bidat and you're advising me. Very understand that they won't come straight. And the only link they had with Islam was Taziyah. They didn't have anything else about it. Nothing about Islam. The only link that was connecting them with Islam was Taziyah. So maine vikhaya, that was the word, maine vikhaya ka kaam kiya. I saved them. I put a barrier on, just to save them. Now, but from now onwards, we're going to work on these people here to bring them back onto the Sunnah. So now, it's a procedure. If you look at Mewat, the still the same. One house, and one side they got a booth, and one side they got a musalla. One person's name is Singh, other person's name is Yusuf. So now, Mu'ar didn't throw the towels like any, you know, shirk, kafir, mushrik, just run away from them. He worked on them and made them buzugs. The whole town, some of the whole towns, 100,000, 50,000, each one of them became tahajjud bazaar. But now all that requires mehnat. You go down, go and work with these people here, bring them up. And with time, inshallah, they'll come right. It's not that they'll change overnight. Sometimes it's some halat situation. One person, black man, right? Some friend of mine's, they lived in a remote place, they had a Jamaat Khana. So this black worker used to observe them, and he took a liking. So they come on, become a Muslim. It's not right, you become Muslim, so all this drinking, you have to drop it out. So now everything is, so he started drinking namaz and all that. After some days, the boss was suspicious. He saw a small bottle in his pocket. He wanted to slap. What are you doing? So, in that conversation, the black man is saying, you see, you can hit me, you can bust that bottle, but you won't bust the iman in my heart. You won't bust the iman in my heart. And then he said, see, my Yunus Patel gave me permission to do this. I got a letter. So the letter? The letter was this, that the doctors told him, that because you have drunk for so long, your liver is about collapsing. Just as a medical treatment, you must take a little bit. Like how, you know, blood transfusion. The blood is napak, right? It's haram. But if someone is now between life and death, don't you allow it. Right? So now just to save his life, you take a little bit. But man made toba, left the habit, died on a Friday. So, it's a whole procedure. You're not going to change people overnight. You should understand, our own families, own homes, the child is watching something wrong, haram. You got some bad habits, right? Do we abandon the child? It's alright, we'll have to work on him. We can't leave him. Right? We can't abandon the child, but we can't see him on wrong. But we ask him to leave the wrong out in one stroke, it can't happen. So it's a continuous struggle. So we don't just leave it to the Jamaat. We won't help them out as well. Mr. Bala Qadhi, let's put it on his side. Ask him to do it, but we assist him, cooperate. It's a community work. Tomorrow, that person may do something that we can't do.
This question is linked to the last question. Is it correct to describe Yahya Sinwar as the Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu of our times?
Don't give that type of a description that creates confusion. What is the work of the Quran, the Nabi, and the heir of the Nabi? What is the work of it? The heir of the Nabi, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. To bring out, to lead our people from the darkness of disbelief, doubts and suspicions, to the light of Iman, righteousness and clarity. So the Nabi, or the heir of the Nabi, this is his work. So now we don't have an approach that we leave the person in darknesses of doubts. So this is wrong. But he strove for the right cause, and may Allah forgive him. This is wrong. So we let the person know that it's wrong. And our work is to bring the person out of the darkness of disbelief and doubt to the light of Iman. Right? But we also acknowledge the good that he's done. He's done some good. We don't know, say, oh, he's Jahannami because he didn't have a beard. So we don't do that. Maybe he didn't know, and I explained this to Palestinians, when I read the history, during right into atheism, godless community. And then this Sheikh Yasin, he started working. So what a struggle he had. You know, they're all into atheism, they're into professionalism, all that. And they just fought completely. I had to bring them all from that extreme into what they are now today. So we will still point out the wrongs to them. But like I say, it's not an overnight process. It's time. It's time the person will leave all the wrong. See the sunnah. How many of us, right, we know it's haram, right? Are we involved, aren't we? Like, we know ghibat is wrong. Are we involved? We know picture making is haram. But we leave it out. Do we leave it out immediately? How many of our women are not clad properly? Or they're not going to the right places? But do we leave them out? So now we have to encourage them. So now why do we have a different law for our people and a different law for them? We also involve in haram, ghibat, our eyes are not right, going to the wrong places, right? Aren't we wrong? We laughing at the Muslims falling and we laughing at them. Right? And sometimes we see someone falling down and we celebrating a Muslim. Are these the right things? Right? We're giving bad titles to people, is this the right thing? La tanabazu bil alqab. Is that the right thing? So we also wrong. We don't single out these people here. So no, we are perfect Muslim. No. But also wrong, as Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to have an Egyptian Qari. And the Qari was totally beardless. But he would recite. So ulama in that zamana, in the 60s and 70s, objected, کہ یہ داری منڈا ہوا ہے اس کو سٹیج کے پر بٹھاتے ہیں اس کلین شیون یو فور ایم آؤٹ آف دا اسٹیج سو ہاؤ سیو مرا ورک اٹ آؤٹ مرا سیڈ یو سی دس پرسنز باطن ہز ان سائڈ از ملین ٹائمز بیٹر دین مائنز بٹ مائی ظاہر مائی بیئر ایٹسٹرا از بیٹر دین ہیز ظاہر سو می اللہ تعالیٰ گرانٹ می ہیز باطن and grant him my zahir. I should. Samjhe? Grant him my zahir and grant me his batin. So the Egyptian, he wanted to know exactly what Mawlana said. He cried and there and then he made tawbah. See, there's a time, you have to work with people, get to them, get them onto the sunnah. We don't have an attitude that, you know, we are the only righteous persons. He is wrong in his zahir, we are wrong in our batin. We also correct ourselves and correct them as well. So we don't support the wrong that they're doing, but we don't deny the good that they are doing.
Can Hazrat Mufti Sahib please mention any experiences that he may have had with Marhum Qari Ismail Desai Sahib, rahimahullah?
I know Qari Sahib, rahmatullah, we are living in Reunion, right? So Qari Sahib's father, Chotamata, was also in Reunion, just near the masjid. So I know him. I was still in the Maktab now. Maybe I was about 7 years of age or 8 years of age. And I can still picture him crawling and coming to the madrasa. He was at that age. So I don't know what's the age difference, but that picture, that sight is before me. So the whole family, Karisa's family, there was a lot of, his father worked for us, Chotamota. When I was small, his father worked for us. But there are a lot of values, very, very good values. Like now, Chidamata, or maybe a little bit on the light side. So we're going to school in the morning, so he'll be the manager in our shop. On the Tiran side, he's the manager. So we must make Assalamu Alaikum. The Assalamu Alaikum, they will give on Chappie's bubble gum. Now, for us, that time, the Chappie's bubble gum was a very great thing. Now, children got 200 and 300 to spend every day. So that Chappie's bubble gum was very valuable to us. So after that, we must say Jazakallah. If you did say Jazakallah, you lost your chewing gum. But what I admired is they put very great values. His whole concern was put values. You know? From that time, he's a shop, right? But he was too strong in the values. Thereafter, we moved on to Miasam. And I think after about one month or two months, Qari Ismail Sahib came to Miasam as well. But a very steady person, you know, steady person, consistent, focused, not dilly-dallying, not distracted. So that was what I admired, and I seen him, very focused. He knew what he came for, and he's focused in the work. And his parents were like that also, very focused. I knew his parents, his mother also, I knew them from the childhood, I knew, until she passed away. So I knew them from that time, very focused, very, very great values, talking about it. You don't see them just saying things, anything randomly, or losing themselves. Very calm, composed people. The guys mentioned one, two things before the namaz, recitation of Quran Sharif, changing of ideas, wants to know how to improve deen, what to do, tajweed, how to try and implement it. Then he won't keep it to himself. He'll exchange, he'll ask, he'll want us to learn, and he'll benefit as well. So a very open man, but wants to do something for deen all the time. Allah, give us that type of heart. The whole concern is about deen. That's the focus, that's the concern. That logo ka deen ka kya kare. And we envy him. Mode of work is doing one man. Look at maktabs, then look at the madrasa, then look at the building, look at the children, looking at the tarbiyat, still managing the hills. So many multitasking. Allah gave that energy. Allah gave the good of the hereafter as well.
Brother is asking, he says he's coming from a madrasa, a Darul Uloom, where they're very, very strict to such an extent that many students want to leave. What should these students do? How should they react in that situation where they're very strict in their Darul Uloom?
That word strict is a little bit ambiguous, right? So let me just give one small story to make you understand. So I spoke about moderate Islam. So someone told me, no, don't say the word moderate, because people understand moderate differently. Now, the Mulana that is acting on the Sunnah, so he is counted to be a rigid Mulana. He's a radical. And the one that is breaking the rules and relaxing, compromising, he is called cool. So now, this is the environment we're living in. So the one that is breaking the rules, relaxing the rules, that is cool. And the one that is holding on the sunnah, he's called a radical, he's called rigid. Right? So that's why when he says, madrasa is too strict, so I don't know what's the actual tarif, therefore I say, it's a little bit ambiguous. If the madrasa is telling him, alright, for example, don't look at porn, right? So you can't say he's too strict now. But another person will say, no, it's too strict. So if they are teaching healthy values, good values, alright, someone will be more firm in their approach, someone will be relaxed in their approach. Look at it from this perspective, that they are teaching you good values. And if you don't have that values, so let's say a human being is not a human being, then it's something else.
Nowadays there is a trend where travelers are making a habit of jama bain as-salatain. And this is also happening when ulama are taking youngsters and they're traveling with them. They are joining two salahs. Kindly advise whether this is allowed.
It's incorrect. See, Umar radiallahu anhu, in his khilafat, he first passed a circular to the entire Islamic republic that man jama'a bain as-salatain faqad ata Babum in Abwabil Kabair. Any person that is joining of two salats, right, then he has committed a major wrong. So now look at it from a different perspective. When Umar has sent a circular and nobody objected. None of the Sahaba Kiram that were present at that time objected. But as though it was consensus. So you can't break the consensus. And more especially when your mazhab doesn't approve of it. Doesn't approve of it, now tomorrow you jump to something else. You say, no, you are bleeding, so Imam Shafi says it's all right. And then so you touch a woman, say, no, I'm Hanafi now, because Hanafi says that you touch the woman and your wuzu doesn't break. Imam Shafi says it breaks. So you're going to be hopping this side, that side, a whole lot of confusion you're going to bring to yourself. One man, or he passed away, sometimes like he passed away. So he remarried, his first wife passed away, he remarried. The woman that he married was a Shafi. So I knew him quite well, very jovial. I said, Chacha, how's it? Very happy. He said, a little bit difficult, man. So why? See, if she just makes wuzu and I touch her, say, hey, don't touch me. According to Imam Shafi, the wuzu breaks. So when you don't have this line of reasoning and procedure, then you create a whole confusion for yourself and for others. And then your deen is then just hop from one thing to the other, swap around, hop around. So are you following deen or your nafs? Ask yourself, what are you following?
Christina is asking, is it permissible to sleep after Fajr Salah?
Someone is tired, can't manage it, sleep for right. Nowadays you have to make that relaxation. But please don't do that in our madrasa. Our madrasa starts after Fajr. So, but it's not a good habit. It's a Mubarak time, the best time of the day is morning, right? But it's the best time, you're supposed to be engaging in something else. Wean yourself of that habit and do something constructive. What you can do in the morning, you can't do for the rest of the day. When I was in Myanmar, I used to see what you can do and achieve before Fajr, at least half an hour, 1 hour before Fajr, you can never get it after Fajr. And what you can get after Fajr, you can't get in the rest of the day. Battling to finish it up, you can't just do it. So, before Fajr is a different barakat. After Fajr is still a barakat, but it's then halved. And after that, you don't get that barakat. So that's the time to really exploit. You earn something, that's the Mubarak time. And you lost that, you lost something. Something great you've lost. So, there was one businessman, Sahabi, right? So he heard the hadith, that Barik in the Ummati, Allah bless my Ummat in the morning, in the early morning. So, he was a businessman, and he used to send out his caravans in the morning. The amount of barakat he made, nobody made. But that was the blessings of the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in deen and dunya, this is the most blessed time. But our problem is that we're going to stay up late till night, right? And then our tahajjud is going, no Quran Sharif is being recited in the morning, after which we're going to sleep. But all is because we're not practicing the sunnah. After Isha, go and sleep. To work, read Kitab, Quran, Sharif or something, but you go and sleep. But now you're going to delay, there's going to impact on your tahajjud, Quran, Sharif recitation, zikr, or Fajr namaz. Something is going to get affected. But the whole procedure has to be corrected. Now it's different now. Sometimes some working class, business people, they don't get time to rest afterwards in the day, right? Now once they start now, and they're starting at 8 and they come back at 4 or 5. So there's no time. So after the Fajr namaz, they read Quran Sharif, etc., and rest a little bit, we don't make a noise about it. But gradually we must improve this a bit.
Krishna is asking, Allah Ta'ala has a lot of love for His creation. Why would Allah Ta'ala still allow such heartache to take place?
It's the design of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak is perfect. His design is perfect. So that question cannot feature. Otherwise, at every level this question can come. Right? If Allah is most kind, then why did He create hunger? Right? Should have not created hunger, right? There wouldn't have been a thing like hunger and starvation. Right? If He's most kind, right, then He shouldn't have created a thing like death. Right? Because our people are dying, people feeling so grief and all that. So He shouldn't have created a thing like death. Now, if there are only births and no death, would there be any place to live? So it's a grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, and we don't understand the plan of Allah Ta'ala, so we make these type of comments, right? Then, again, Allah Pak is so kind, so why did He create sicknesses? So if there are no sicknesses, there will be hospitals, no doctors, no medical, no treatment. Absolutely finished, right? If He's so kind, then why are there robbers and rogues, etc.? Rogues, robbers, stealing, theft, etc., right? Then if there was no mismanagement, fraud, etc., right, would there be a need for accountants making hisab, kitab, all that? Would there be a need for that? There won't be a need. So, in His plan, in His design is perfect, right? But people then abuse, right? So in His plan, for example, there is a thing like theft, right? There is a thing like theft, right? So, now look at the beauty of His plan. Because of the fear of theft, at least 21 million South Africans are eating, right? Because of the fear of theft, right? So approximately 5 million people are employed, right? 5 million people or 6 million people are employed just for security reasons. Then police, then CCTV, then patrol, right? Then a police station, then a security over the police station, right? So over 20 million people are just getting the rosy just because of the fear of theft and robbery, right? If it wasn't this, then... So the plan is beautiful, but the person that is committing the theft, he is wrong. So you look at it holistically, then you see the beauty. Otherwise, so there is a reason, and many a times our minds don't go to that, right? So if there was no such a thing like jihad, right, then how people get the sawab of becoming shaheed? How will they get sawab? So you have to strive, offer your life, and get the sawab for that.
What's the way to protect us from fitnas in the December season, especially for our youngsters?
The best thing is keep to yourself. Otherwise, join the right jamaat. Not just any jamaat, because sometimes the individual, the jamaat, right, the jamaat has been designed by the greatest awliya of the time. At that time, it was the greatest awliya. They designed the whole program. So there is no flaw in the program itself. Sometimes the people that are going out, they are abusing the name of the jamaat. I mean, look at the phone, look at whatever wrong things, right? So it's an insult on the jamaat itself. So they are not wrong. Like how we have people insulting the madrasa. Come to madrasa, they're looking at phones, etc. Right? So this abuse, that has to be secured. So the only way out I see is get a good amir. The amir will not allow a phone and won't allow you to misuse and abuse your time. Good amir, he's focused, you are focused. Right. The time is well spent, and after the 40 days or 30 days, you come back as a changed person.
The person is saying that recently the Tablighi Jamaat issue became a very big thing in South Africa. Many people are asking why the ulama are not so outspoken against the modernist ulama, the TV ulama, and those ulama who are distorting the deen by name, just like how they spoke out against Maulana Saad by his name.
I think he's misinformed. The ulama are doing both. They're against the TV and against any other wrong. Now to say that they're not speaking out, then that person is not abreast with the news. If you're abreast with the news, then you know, Mawai Ismail, every year the Jalsa, you've got a 20-minute slot. And ulama and students in Jusa are waiting for his program. They tell you themselves that we are anxiously waiting for your program. So they know about it. We're giving a slot, we're speaking about it. But now, just that some of us are a little bit gentle in the approach, and some are a little bit vociferous, right? So we prefer to have that gentle approach, making you understand. Zen banane. And that person is also good, but he's shouting, you don't do this, watch out what will happen to you. So his niyat is also right. Right. And these people that are a little bit gentle in their approach, they are doing their work, but with a gentle approach. So to say that they are not doing that work, I think you're not abreast with the news. Every year, just every year we're doing it. Aren't we doing it? Photography, and I'll give all the hadiths and the Buzurgan hadiths, statements, etc. Right? Talk about it every year.
Is it, we got enough questions to go till Fajr time, so you just let us know when you want to stop. The brother is asking that, what is the solution or alternative to secular education? As a parent, what do we do to educate our child?
There's thousands of homeschooling programs. Where there's a world, there's a way. Thousands of. I think just in Spring Valley, it's about 5 or 10 homeschooling programs. Right? Just in Spring Valley, small town. So but the world, Muslims must get together, understand, all right, child needs what he needs to do. How do we program it? How do we work it out? So where there's a will, there must be a way.
Does it say that when I finish my studies, should I return to my country or should I remain in South Africa? Please give some advice.
Do what you can manage nicely. What you can manage. Right. My general advice to most people is you give a preference to the dini security. Right. See, in Makkah Mukarramah, Muslims are being persecuted. Someone is persecuted, someone is tortured, someone is killed, someone is boycotted. Didn't happen? Right. So all these things happen. Rasulullah advised them to take some sanctuary. Initially, they'd gone to Abyssinia, then to Medina Munawwara. So look for a sanctuary where your deen is secured well, but in such a way that you can manage your dunya affairs as well. Now, you went to one extreme and then you can't maintain that, then you say, I made a big mistake. So do look for a sanctuary, but try and secure yourself so that you don't feel in yourself that I made a wrong move. Well, for many people, if they don't have anything, then that can just create doubts and suspicions in the mind. Some is so strict, some is so hard.
Another says that I battle to have concentration in my salah. Please explain that. What can I do to get concentration?
I spoke about this thing after, sir. So, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِيُونَ. So the two things that are required, be calm. You know, don't fidget around, do the postures right, look at the right spot, don't allow your eyes to wander, right? Number one. Number two, mentally, you either think about, just follow the verse that is being recited, or the tasbih that is being recited, allow your mind to go through that, towards that, right? Deliberately, don't allow your mind to wander. There's one thought you can engage your mind to. And the second thought that you can engage your mind is perhaps I may not get a chance to perform the next namaz. So that thoughts will go, then just bring it back. Thoughts will go because you can't have a full control of the flow of thoughts. So you just bring it to one of these two things. With time, it doesn't come overnight. With time, you have some discipline in your thinking and in your concentration, inshallah.
How can one establish a Baitul Mal type of an organization in South Africa?
Baitul Mal. I have a Baitul Mal here. Baitul Mal is run by an Amir, right? And everybody is supposed to be respecting the Baitul Mal. They're supposed to be giving the zakat to the Baitul Mal, and the Baitul Mal will then do the distribution. So, for that to be effective, you need to have authority and power. So, does anybody have authority and power? You don't have the authority and power. So, under the circumstance, we must understand and realize or think of ways how we can protect our iman, our values, our dini education, etc., to the best of our ability. How we can do it. Jamaat, madrasa, khanqah, whichever way. But the idea is, it's everybody's obligation to work out a plan, how can I preserve my deen? And at least my deen and for my next generation, like in your finances, etc., are you worried only about yourself or you worried also for the next generation? Yeah? The Indians worried about the 10th generation, right? There are bachcha ka bachcha ka pota ka aayega, to wo kya kahan se khayega? Worried. So at least that type of fikr, what have I left for my deen, for my generation? Now, if I didn't leave anything, tomorrow they'll be walking around naked, somebody's pulling wrong things, right? Dressing up like a shaitan, right? But I didn't leave anything for them. So what have I done for their deeni security? That has to be the primary concern. Right? Pure business, nobody's stopping, but what have I done? What succession plan for my children, dependents, etc.? And you make that figure, then Allah Pak opens the way, but your focus must be there.
This person is asking that the reward of 100,000 and 50,000, 100,000 Makkah Sharif, 50,000 Madinah Sharif, this is, does only apply to Salah or any Ibadat, and will it apply if I'm in my hotel and not inside the Haram Sharif?
There's two opinions. Ibn Hajar Rahmatullah Alayhi says, it applies across the board, for every act that is in Makkah and Medina Munawwara. To the extent he speaks about the woman that is performing namaz in a hotel room, she also qualifies for the same reward. So let's go with that, finish. There's another opinion.
This person says, I've got some family members who are on the Nizamuddin side. Should I break family ties with them?
Someone has to press that button. So there are several queries of this nature, several queries. Ulama, non-ulama. So I gave it a thought, right? So we are commanded, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. When there's a fight, then we look for a peaceful solution, isn't it? Amicable, peaceful solution. So that becomes a duty for the entire ummah. When there's a dispute, now let's look for an amicable solution. So I gave you the thought, and Allah Pak inspired my heart, right? So see now, there are numerous phones from even UK, and why don't you go and sort it out, you know? So I told the person, what a brilliant idea to go and sort out and to reconcile. I can't see anything better than this. But I said, see, now this problem is not just an individual's problem. It's escalated to an international proportion. So if I go, I'll sort something out, but individually, in my individual capacity. But will that sort out the problem of the ummah? It won't sort out the problem of the ummah. So now, then what is the amicable solution for the entire ummah? That is what we need to think about. Because that body must sort it out, which all can agree. You know, we appointed someone as an arbiter, so all parties must agree to the body to do the arbitration. So, Maulana Saad Sahab, he says himself, I got his writing, he wants his own writing about it. He says that Deoband and Sahanpur are our headquarters and they are our centers. And any person in the Jamaat mustn't feel that he is independent of them. And if any person thinks that he is independent of them, his word is, intihai humrahi ki batil. This is now going off the track to the extreme. Intihai humrahi ki batil. So that he is now confession, right? Then he goes on to say, and I am on the path of Imamul Hasan Sahib and Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullahi, and I will hold on to that right to the end, right? So these are his confessions. So now the easy, simple, practical solution to this whole thing is, Imam Asad humbles himself and goes to Dioban, because he is counting them at his headquarters, he's counting them as his reference, his markaz. So go to them, right, and bring about a solution. If, for example, if Dioban, Sahanpur and all the ulama are wrong, right, then they will admit that we are wrong, right, and we retract from the wrong. We made these allegations against him, right. And if it is that he is wrong, then he must also recognize and admit that he's my mistake. I really have made a mistake, and I need to correct myself, right? Then, in his seniors now, his ustads are Mawlana Aqil Sahib and Mawlana Ibrahim Deola Sahib. That is his ustad. So we got a problem. So who will we refer to? Our elders, our ustads. And someone's ustad is, for example, Mawlana A.S. Desai, right? So if you refer to him, someone's ustad, for example, Mawlana Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib. So who will refer to them? So his confession is, they are my elders, right? His ustads. So Dioban, Sahanpur and his ustads, he can go to them. He must, because it's one person, just one person, and he makes that attempt, right? He'll bring a peaceful solution to the entire ummah. Is that better than one individual going and just reconciling? What's better? And there can be no dispute about these two places, because he says that this is my very markaz, and anybody to move away from them is bari, is an intihai gumrahi ki baat. So when he's already made that bold statement that this is the markaz, then he must go there, present his whole story. If Dioban and Sahanpur is wrong, they must say we are wrong. And if he is wrong, he must be man enough to say that I am wrong. And then all that conversation, everything is ironed out, cleared out, right? The amount of time that if Dioban is right and he is wrong, and they feel that he needs a time to correct these things here. Give the time. He must correct himself. The whole world he must go and correct himself, at least for a year or something, right? And if Dioban is wrong, then they must also do the same. So when I presented it to some of the seniors, they said, this is a very fair solution. What? The seniors say, this is a very fair solution. If I'm saying you are wrong and you are saying I'm wrong, so both can't be wrong. And it can't be just a difference of opinion. Because the difference of opinion is like a Shafi and Hanafi. If a great Shafi scholar comes here, we'll ask him to lead the namaz. Right? Won't we ask him? We'll respect him. And we all ask him why reading Bismillah loudly or Amin loudly. We'll respect him. We won't have any. So it's not just a difference of opinion. So something is wrong on one of the two sides. So if the whole thing is to the markaz of his choice, the center of his choice, then I don't think there should be any problem after that. But now this attempt must be from him. One man, if he's got the compassion, the love, and the concern of the ummah, just makes that attempt, go there, sort it out, as to will there be any problem after that.
Brother says, I desire to go out in Jamaat for 40 days. How can I convince my sheikh to give me ijazat?
You have convinced the sheikh. The sheikh was convinced you. Right. Do you impress on your elder, or the elder impresses on you? The elder must impress on you. When we are in Dioban, so Mawlana Nanabai was very friendly with him. So we should go every Thursday in Jamaat. Go Thursday and Friday morning we come out, come back. So unfortunately I felt now that I served my time in Jamaat, because every Thursday I went and every Friday I was come back. See? Yeah. So we had a plan in that we must work hard, get good numbers, and see that we are not absent for any class, not for one second, be there. Why? So that the Ustad, etc., have a good spot for the Jamaat and the activity. If we first, we're getting good positions, we're working, we are punctual in our class, etc. So what the management, the Ustad, what impression it will create? Working and they are diligent, bringing good results. So you have that in the Ustad, the Sheikh also. They ja rahe hai, to bari tabdili lekar ke aate hai wapas.
I'm going for Umrah. Should I make more tawafs or more Umrahs?
Both got their virtues, but generally they say more tawafs are more rewarding than too much of Umrahs. But both, like Umratun fi Ramadan kahajjatin ma'i. Making Umrah in Ramadan is like making Hajj with Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a reward on its own.
Women are encouraged to wear long flowing garments. If a woman wears a dress that is till her waist only and long pants in a home where no one else is there besides the husband and she has no children, is it okay?
It mustn't, the clothing that men or women wear, it mustn't resemble the styles of the kufar. Right? It mustn't resemble their ways. We got an independent identity. I remember Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Khan Sahib said that in Hamare Yahan, in the UP, even our shoe style is against the kuffar shoe style. Even our utensils, you know, domestic, our style is different and their style is different. So there's a clear line between us and them. We don't get impressed with their styles. I get very scared, you know. Sometimes you get janazas coming here. Now, then you have to remove the clothing, right? And then it's quite saddening when you see the person in that state. What type of clothing, what type of apparel, he left the world.
If a person comes to know of an alim not observing parada, example his wife's or with his wife's nieces, should he inform the Shaykh about that alim or he should just ignore it?
It's not your duty to go and tell the Shaykh all the other stories. Your duty to the Shaykh is to tell your stories. Now, you left your stories, say, oh, he's like that and he's like that and he's like that. Missing the point. You go to the doctor to complain about other people's problems or your own problems. The Shaykh is like the doctor. You must show your problems and what line of correction is required. Sir, hamare log jhagde ke aadi ho gaye. Innakum qaumun takhtasimun. It's like to fight. Punch, fight, aggressive.
When a person is making islah by his sheikh, should he ask his sheikh with regards to matters about upgrading his car, where they should get a firearm, etc.?
If it's going to be affecting his islah, if it's, like for example now, upgrading his car, and he has to do some bank financing, he must ask his sheikh.
And alim cleans his yard where people can see him whilst he's wearing only his vest and a lungi. Is it against the shan of an alim to dress like this?
He must just build a little bit taller fences. I saw the whole thing. Is this? You have to masla kyun banaya hai? Put a little bit of tall fence. You feel in your house there.
If a person makes wudu and uses a miswak, then the salah he reads will be multiplied 70 times. Does he get the reward of 70 faraid salah or 70 sunnah salah?
The hadith is general. 70 times. The sawab is multiplied. 70 times. General.
Can a person send his faraiz wajib acts for a person who is alive or dead? Or he only can send sunnah and nafil?
For both. Faraiz and sunan, mustahabbat, everything.
How should a person control his thoughts in different aspects of life? For example, in his ibadat or in his muasharat, etc., or with regards to badgumani, how to control the thoughts?
Some of these questions are best dealt if the person is not a sheikh. See, like these questions come in, and I answer them, but with experience, you see, is you got someone to relate to. Over a period of time, he understands you. When he understands you, then he diagnoses and he shows you a procedure. And then your confidence builds on him. A lot of it rests on your confidence. You have that confidence. Sometimes you tell the person once and there's a whole revolution in the person's life. That is when you are relating to someone. But now you'll ask here, you'll ask this person here, you'll ask the third person, and each person will show you something different. But then you'll create a complication. So now I must listen to him or that person. But who's brought the complication? You. Why? Because you don't want to listen to one single person. So in matters of Islam and Reformation, the right practical thing, see or look around, person that is on the same page as yourself, you can reason, compatible, and then hold on to him firmly, with confidence. And experience is that you progress proportionate to your firm commitment. See, I must be tawajjuh. But all that is helpful, proportionate to how the murid, how much of commitment, how much of firmness, stability, he shows. To that extent, then you see all the fruits coming out. But now he's not doing anything, and he wants the sheikh to do everything for him. So it lasts maybe a day, 2 days, and then collapses. But you're showing a strong commitment, you just go on progressing. I was of that opinion. Then recently I saw the same thing in the works of the sheikh of Tariq, same thing. It's not about your tawajjuh, the sheikh's tawajjuh. That's also beneficial, but it's more about your commitment, what commitment you give. So the sheikh is likened to it, in my words, like a tap, right? So if the murid is opening it just slightly, gently, you'll get a slow flow. And it's opening it full, then you get a full flow. So it's left on the user, how much is he opening, how much is he committed. If he's committed full, then he's getting that. One person comes to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, Had ilayya, give me some advice. He said, La tasubba ahadan, don't be abusive. Don't insult him. He said, from that day I didn't swear a man, not a woman, not a slave, not an animal, nothing. So he came with that level of determination. It was Rasulullah's dua or his advice, and he just changed the person straight, one sitting.
Some Islamic kitabs are written by non-ulama. Should we read these kitabs?
So all these things relate to your Islam, correction in Islam. If you want one sheikh, listen to him. Right? Person that doesn't, is not competent, right? He can't write a kitab. I see kitabs written on tasawuf, but the person doesn't have a sheikh, he read this kitab, he read that kitab, he's writing tasawuf. Kya samjhega? So, that person can write about the self who's got experience, who's been through it, he knows about it. Like, for example, the enjoyment of marital life, and you're asking a 10-year-old child to write about it. He's got very good English. He looked at 50 kitabs. Can he do justice? Why? You need to go through it to understand what it is. Now, you didn't go through it in writing on the self. Someone today also was saying he's doing tafsir on his own. So he's looking at one word, translating, and now he's making up the sentence, he's getting the understanding. Great thing. No, you make a mistake. Because to get the proper understanding, there's other things that are required. Sometimes in a sentence you got something that is muqaddar, mahzoof. The person that is the man of the language, he'll understand that this is how it's supposed to be understood. But he hasn't gone through it now. He doesn't know. Like for example, يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن تَضِلُّ. Right? Literally how he'll translate, Allah is explaining you that you may go astray. That's a literal. That means you just learned one, two words and you're giving a translation. So, there's مُقَدَّرْ mahzuf, يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن لَا تَضِلُّ. Right? And this happens in every language. Every language is what its idiomatic expressions. Like for example, in Urdu you say, usko dekh karke mera dil baag baag ho gaya. Now you're giving a proper English translation. I saw him, my heart became garden garden. Kya bakwas kar rahe hai? So you need to know some, how the thing works, where it fits in, where it doesn't fit in, what is an idiomatic expression. Right? You don't know these things here, and you're just looking, taking chances. Right? What's going to happen? You're going to confuse yourself.
The person says that sometimes we notice there's differences between our seniors. How should we, who should we follow, and how do we maintain respect?
All these have been answered. Provided no mind that is asked. So, one procedure that is shown by the Muhtami Sahib Rahmatullah, you go to the different seniors that you know, sit with them, right, for some time, say about 1-2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, 3 weeks there, right? And then you observe the compatibility, you understand his commitment on the Sunnah, you understand that you are benefiting, you know, when he's explaining something, your heart is embracing it, and you want to go in that direction, right? So that means that there is some compatibility, this understanding. And you saw the person that is most compatible, now you hold on to him and move on. I asked my Ustad, as Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that you had the beautiful zamana of Muhtami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Shaykhul Islam, Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Rai Puri Sahib. Then you chose the youngest, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali. Why didn't you go there? He said, no, I went to all of them. He tells me. I went to, and alhamdulillah, I have to feel very spiritually charged in the sitting, right? But when I went to the Shaykh Hamdali, so mera pura x-ray khul gaya. He saw my mistakes. When he read my mistakes, then I understood that this man he's discovered the mistakes, so he'll have my solution. He just, because the doctor needs two things, diagnosis and to write a script, right? Two things. If you're only doing diagnosis, can't. When you're writing a script, he can't. But he knows the mistakes, so when I'm in his presence, I should understand my mistakes. So I understood that this is the better person for me.
Person is asking, what is the best form of isal al-sawab for the deceased, and can we dedicate just one action to two people?
Yes. The best is, in my understanding, what's needed at that time. What's most needed at that time to make isal al-sawab of that. For example, now, we're in a place and what is needed is water. So you provide some type of water service. Now, when water is the greater need in that area, you're giving 1,000 copies of Yasin Sharif. Is that the right thing? Is that a better thing? There's no doubt about the greatness of Yasin being the heart of the Quran, getting 10 sawabs or 10 Quran Sharif sawab, right? But what was the need of that place at that time?
Is it permissible to attend a name celebrating ceremony in the masjid, like a akika ceremony? Is this permissible?
To name that?
Yeah, a naming ceremony. I'm assuming what? That it's some type of ceremony they have in the masjid, where they do the akika and they name the child.
No, there's no ceremony like that in the masjid. It's not a ceremony that is to be done at the masjid.
person is saying that what is the definition of bidat, and 40 durood and salam, will it fall under bidat?
The 40 duruds are 40 hadiths, right? Like, it is recommended that you start your sittings with the recitation of the Quran Sharif, right? And similarly, you have a program where you're reciting some hadiths. So all these duruds are from the hadiths. So is there any problem in reciting hadiths? You recited 40 hadiths, so what's the problem with that? Any grinder? Now, understand what happens here. Every place, right, like a khanqah, has a program. This will happen in the morning, afternoon, evening. A madrasa also has a program. That this kitab you will learn in the first semester, second semester, third semester. First period, second period, third period. So will you call that a bidat? Hey, you are diligent in doing just this kitab in the first period. You are not doing any other kitab. So is that a bidat? So why don't you call it a bidat? See? You do it because you found that to be an effective thing for the program. So in a khanqah, you got a program for what? For Islam. And when you got a program for Islam, then in the program you got a talk, you got a recitation of the Quran Sharif, and you got some hadith. So the intention is what? To bring a reformation. So can there be anything more effective than the words of Rasulullah? But now you have to have it in a slot that you feel is convenient, having it at this time, having it at that time. So in that there's no problem. And then we saw this by the Shaykh Al-Hadith Rahmatullahi. Al-Mu'ad Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he had dedicated a time for Zikr Jahri in the Khanqah in Tanabuan at about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So was that a bidat? That was his style. And at this time, this Zikr is going to be done. So was that a bidat? They found it the convenient thing to be done at that time. So here they found it to be a convenient thing to be done at this particular time.
Can we collect checkers, mini toys, especially the small version of a television or a bull brand haram meat? In other words, I'm assuming it's a box that's in the shape of bull brand that was haram meat.
I spoke about it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِدُونَ. Things that don't concern your dunya and akhir, don't run after these things. These big chain stores want to chain you. What? Kya maksad inka? Chain you. So they bring a toy and they chain you. Hey, you're running after this toy and after that toy. And what they did in the process? Chain you.
Quite a few questions here got to do with people that are doing HIVs, and some are beginning the Alim course. General advices for these students.
One advice I give, things that don't concern you, don't pursue it. No matter who says what, but it doesn't concern your deen or dunya, people, books, contents, but it doesn't concern your deen, doesn't concern your dunya, why was he involved? It was a Malawian student. So he completed his year in 4 months. So I want to do the homework now. Why is this Malawian student so intelligent? One Malawian student we had here, Ramzan, he passed away, now. So one day in Ramzan, he learned one sipara. One day in Ramadan, he learned one sipara. So when I learned about the lifestyle that they're living in the sticks, so there's nothing to attract them. As though the treasure box of their memories is empty. They can just fill. And our memories are loaded up. Go to this thing here, get this one here, that game, TV game, so on here. So so much has filled the box. Now, you know, the Quran has to squeeze it in.
And their minds are absolutely clear. So they're taking and they're grasping very swiftly. Now imagine, ordinary person, but one sipara in one day in Ramadan he gives you.
Last two or three questions, shall I finish off? Brother says that Amanat Investments, he says currently there's a group of minorities that are trying to obtain the money back. Can we join the minorities so that I can get my money back?
If you own money and to work in a respectable manner to get your money back, what's wrong with that? Respectable manner to work to get your money back.
So this says, I'm a student of a Darul Uloom. The rule of the madrasa is that we're not allowed to eat in the room. If I take madrasa bread and I eat in the room, will it be haram and will my ibadah be accepted?
Breaking the law of the madrasa doesn't make the bread haram.
This is the last one, inshallah. It says, can Muqtasab tell us which year did he qualify in India and a little bit about his history as far as the initial days of madrasa, etc.
The history, Kiram and Khatimin are writing it. So I don't have to worry about my history. But the year I completed was 78. The rest of the history, now, they already got it. Maybe someday you can get it from them. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إني أسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم وأعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين